Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, President Trump sent a video of congratulations as the new American embassy in Israel completed the move from Tel Aviv, opening in West Jerusalem.
And we extend a hand in friendship to Israel, the Palestinians, and to all of their neighbors. May there be peace. May God bless this embassy. May God bless all who serve there. And may God bless the United States of America.
There was not peace today. More than three dozen Palestinians were killed by Israeli army fire as they protested, sometimes violently. Palestinians are burning tires, throwing rocks and firebombs, and have made several attempts to breach a security wall. Rami Curry is a professor at the American University of Beirut, a syndicated columnist for Agence Globale, and a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School. He joins us in the studios. Rami Curry, welcome back.
Thank you.
And remind us the status of Jerusalem captured by Israel in the 1967 Mideast War, what this means to everyone in the region.
According to international law, Jerusalem, according to the 1948 partition plan that the UN voted, was supposed to be a demilitarized international zone that neither Israelis nor Palestinians controlled. That didn't happen. The city was split, and then in 67, Israel occupied the eastern part, which had been part of Jordan. Virtually everybody in the world recognizes East Jerusalem as an occupied territory. West Jerusalem is widely recognized as the legitimate part of Israel.
Because there's still hopes for negotiating a two-state solution and a divided Jerusalem, capital of each state, U.S. allies, France, U.K., other countries in the region have opposed this move of the American embassy to Jerusalem. And remind us, too, these protests today were an escalation of protests that have been going on since March, attempting to break this decade-long Israeli-Egyptian blockade. This was imposed after the Palestinian group Hamas seized control of Gaza in 2007. 60 protesters have been killed since March in these ongoing protests. So what are they protesting?
They're mostly defenseless, unarmed civilians protesting vigorously, showing that they have a right to return to Israel or to have a negotiation with Israel that leads to a two-state solution. And the situation in Gaza is intolerable. Several million people in Gaza, about 85% of them depend on the UN for food. The water in Gaza is virtually all unusable. There's the blockade, which is predominantly put by Israel. The Egyptians play a certain role, but the Egyptians open the border now and then for people to get out. And it's a symbol of the continuing reality of the core issue, which is Palestinians that were driven out of Israel in 1947 and 48 feel that they have certain rights to return or to negotiate a new situation of a sovereign Palestinian state living alongside Israel. The Israelis say, no, they don't have that right. They have to recognize Israel as a Jewish state.
That's the significance of this date today. It is the 70th anniversary of the founding of Israel, as you mentioned, in 1948, but also seen by the Palestinians as the Nakba area.
Right. There was in 1947-48, the process of the Jewish zealots, the fighters who wanted to create a Zionist Jewish state, became much more active. Fighting broke out in Palestine. A lot of Palestinians were expelled. A lot of them fled during the fighting. Israel was created in 48. And that date is remembered as the Nakba, the date of the catastrophe for the Palestinians.
But you mentioned that the Israelis are demanding that they be recognized as a Jewish state. It's more than that. For the Israelis, it's an existential matter of existence. They want to feel secure. And that brings in the other headline of recent weeks, which is President Trump withdrawing from the Iran nuclear pact, in part because there's no demands on Iran to stop its support of groups in the area, including Hamas. And this is part of what Israel wants. They want more guarantee of security. Your thoughts on the impact of that other storyline that's going on while we're watching what's happening today?
First, I would say there's no state in the Middle East that is more secure than Israel, partly because of its enormous international support, the U.S. in particular, and because it has probably somewhere around 200 nuclear bombs, which they pretty much admit, more powerful than any combination of neighbors for the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah, but you have Iran passing missiles through Syria to Hezbollah, to Hamas.
Right. So every few years a war breaks out, and I've lived through many of these wars in the Middle East, and Israel keeps expanding and building settlements. And so Israel is not threatened with existential obliteration like happened with the Holocaust. Where the new problem comes up for the Israelis is they see Iran as a future threat. The Iranians are not ever going to attack Israel. I mean, that is, I think it's a certainty. The Iranians are not crazy.
They sent some missiles from Syria just last week.
The Israelis have attacked Syria many more times than anybody has attacked Israel. So the Israelis have carried out hundreds of air attacks in Lebanon and in Syria. So the point is both sides have a conflict. They have a political conflict. The Iranians have issues that we can criticize them for sure. But the idea that they are an existential threat to Israel is really pretty silly.
But how does this end, Rami Khoury? We see these protests today. The embassy is formally opened. How does this get tamped down?
Nothing's going to happen while you have the current incompetent Palestinian leadership, the Israeli very right-wing nationalistic leadership of Netanyahu and Likud, and the American leadership under Trump. There are 7-8 million Palestinians who still feel that their national rights have not been secured, and they are peacefully demonstrating for the most part to end their refugeehood through a negotiation with the Israelis for two states. The core issue for the Palestinians is ending their refugeehood. The core issue for the Israelis is being accepted as a formal, normal state in the region. And the mediator from the outside who can get this done is not the United States.
Who do you think does it, if not the U.S.?
There isn't any one mediator right now that can step up and do it. It's going to have to be some kind of coalition of international parties that both sides trust.
Yeah.
The Israelis only trust the Americans, essentially, right now. And the Americans under Trump now, with Jared Kushner and Sheldon Adelson and these guys running the show, are very, very close to Netanyahu and essentially giving him what he wants. So the U.S. is totally out. But the U.S. has been a failed mediator for the last 25 years. They had a monopoly on mediation, and they failed. They're serial failures. So there has to be a more international effort focused on the rule of international law that gives both sides equal rights.
Rami Khoury, a professor at the American University in Beirut, longtime syndicated columnist in the region and a senior fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School. Rami, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.